This is Hers and Hers and His, a Three's Company podcast. I'm Tucker.
I'm Mattio.
And I'm Jinx. Is how it's advertised.
Snail mucin is out.
Snail mucin is so out right now.
But this really, because I just saw an Insta that says it's in.
No, it was in Korea so like 5 years ago. Wow. It's out of the whole thing.
Okay.
Because people were having allergic reactions to it.
Oh.
Because of what it was. Yeah. Because of the animal derivedness of it. So now there's this fermented bean gel, and it's like totally like viscous and gross. Put it on.
Yeah.
And I used it for the first time last night, and I woke up this morning.
And?
So soft.
Wow. Just
baby soft, barely any pores.
Oh, I need that. I have big old pores.
But that's because.
That's because
I'm a woman.
Wait,
the bean goop.
I'm seeing that the timer is rolling. Are we recording?
Yeah.
I just admitted to giant pores on our podcast.
Oh, no.
Everyone has giant pores.
Do we need to stop?
No.
No. Nobody cares about my pores. Giant pores.
We can't have this out there.
Supposedly, it removes all of the lodged sebum, which is the grossest sounding thing I've ever heard.
That's disgusting. That's disgusting.
Lodged sebum.
Ugh. Oh. Lodged sebum.
You know, I was just talking to you guys the way we talk to each other when we're not podcasting.
Yeah.
I'm so embarrassed.
No. We were watching Below Deck the other day. And Captain Sandy said something about how they needed some good semen. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, I saw this stupid Charles in Charge blooper with Willie Ames. And he couldn't get out the line like, I'll take a load off. But he could only get to, I'll take a, and then Scott Baio was just laughing every time he said it. And I was like, man, this is the dumbest. This is the dumbest. And, but I used to have such a crush on Willie Ames. It's ridiculous. How embarrassing to admit that. This is Bible a terrible. Man.
I feel like I've talked about Bible Man before.
You have.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I did recently rewatch Zapped. With Scott Baio and Willie Ames.
Oh, they did a movie together?
Oh, yeah.
They did Zapped. A lot of things.
Fascinating.
Zapped,
I bet. Where I so bet.
Scott Baio plays a teenage genius, a science whiz, and he has a lab accident and develops some telekinetic powers. And so, you know, sometimes he and his buddy William Ames will use them in situations to maybe show get some girls. Boobies and stuff.
I'm dead. I'm dying. It's so dumb.
It's like 1982 or something. It's incredibly dumb.
Wow. The 80s.
Scatman Crothers is in it.
Oh, wow. I haven't heard that name in forever. Yeah.
Scatman Crothers.
Anywho, we're not here to talk about Scott Baio again.
No. We're here to talk about the television show Three's Company.
Uh-huh.
You know the one?
You heard of this?
Episode, season 5, episode 11. Make Room for Daddy.
Make Room for Daddy.
The dirtiest sounding episode we've had so far.
Yeah, it really was.
When
did this air?
Yeah.
January 27th, 1981.
All right, we're recording this on January 23rd.
That's right.
Oh my gosh! Uncanny.
Keep it right up. It's so crazy.
That's weird.
Yeah. Of course, you'll be hearing this.
Who knows
much
when?
Later like, than that break. Yeah, I got real, you know, bad about putting out episodes on time, so we've got a backup right now.
Oh,
got
great.
A backlog of episodes.
I knew you were going to say the word backlog.
Log.
Oh.
Log.
Backlog.
Backlog. If you'll excuse me.
Pardon my French, but we've got a backlog
to take
gross.
Care of.
Gross.
Okay.
I have a sponsor.
Okay.
We're so mature.
Guys, we're here to talk about making
Three's
room for daddy.
Company, make room for daddy.
Sexy
you know,
baby.
Last week.
Yet again.
Okay.
Last week.
I always forget we do this.
You. I don't know. You predicted that there is a baby left at the kid's doorstep.
Oh that's God. A great episode,
and
though.
They enlist Larry to help find out who the mom is because it has to be one of the girls he dated.
It's great. It's great.
And RF gives them 48 hours to get rid of the baby or get out.
That's great.
Make him be homeless with a baby?
Yeah. It goes against their pets and kids policy.
No pets, no kids.
But that's not what happens.
Not at all.
My policy. No.
Oh, really? Oh, really?
You have 17 cats.
Jesus
24
Christ.
Children.
You are hair of your policies.
You're bad at
it. I didn't say that I stuck to them.
You need to review your policies and procedures.
Yeah,
I'll tell you that.
We really need to
I'm not a... saying we need to change the policy.
We
start following it. Okay.
All right.
Make room for daddy. Here we go. We start in the apartment. Janet is doing her job as
her
apartment
task.
Ironer.
Yeah, she's only one who irons in this apartment for some reason.
Yeah.
It's like her. I mean, I guess you have those kind of things when you have a roommate.
Yeah.
Where you're like, this person does the dishes more and this person.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's
true.
In,
you know,
in the apartment.
When you live together for 12 years or whatever.
Yeah.
This
is. Oh God, it's so embarrassing for these people. But true, I was the very clean one when I lived in college with my roommates. They were, by the way, they were both gay and they were so. This was the straight boy thing that they did. They just lived in filth. So I constantly had to clean up after them. It was terrible. Hmm.
I'm trying to think about my roommates, like that I lived with not in a dorm. I had very messy roommates and I was very messy.
Yeah.
So it was just,
just a travesty. This is travesty around here all the time.
Oh, this table.
It's horrible.
I'm a bit persnickety, if you can believe it.
I believe it.
We need you to come visit.
Yeah, come over and be persnickety.
Yay!
Come help us.
Oh my God, do you know how hard I would be like, I need to clean?
I know.
If
and then we'd just
coming
clean
over,
it up.
We would just clean so hard.
And then you'd get here, you'd be like, this isn't too bad.
We'd be like, it's so
we'd be all like
spotless.
Disheveled. Oh,
we've been cleaning for weeks.
Okay.
That's great.
So Janet's ironing, like we were saying.
Right, Janet's ironing.
Right.
And Jack comes in. He's like, hey, did you iron my whatever? And she's
my
like,
shirt.
No, I didn't get to it or whatever. And he goes, that's okay. Probably get wrinkled at the wrestling match.
What wrestling match, Janet?
I thought you were getting together with Cheryl.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the wrestling match I'm talking about.
Come on.
Okay, let's go ahead.
You guys get what he's talking about?
Let's go ahead and do a little like heads up warning. There's a lot of things in this episode that are a little borderline.
Borderline.
I mean,
borderline?
Crossing the border.
Crossing the border?
Yeah. Like we could call it the episode where Janet almost gets raped.
Right.
We could call it
I feel like that's happening
the
before.
Episode where Jack endorses rape.
I feel like that's happened before.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just saying it's all happening in one episode. So I was just like, heads up, everybody.
I did notice the Jack thing, and I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as everyone's heads are up.
Yeah, as long as your heads are up, it's
yeah. Look out, everybody.
Look out. It's coming.
Okay, so, and then she's ironed this negligee.
You couldn't iron that thing.
Yeah, it's like no. Scrolling.
Steam you just through. Hold it's the like, steam up to it and just yeah, dangle like it that over.
Thing would melt.
Exactly. It would
burn in 2 seconds.
And she asked Jack to take it and hang it up for her.
Who hangs up their negligees?
Janet.
Who irons and hangs up? Who has a negligee?
Janet. Janet.
No, she wait, does. What's her she name? Dress like that at night.
What's Cindy? Janet's last name?
Janet Wood.
Janet Wood.
Cindy, or I mean, Janet doesn't dress like that. She wears like jerseys and shit.
Whoa.
Yeah, Whoa. That's her bedtime. But I guess you, I don't, yeah, they had to paint Janet as a little bit of a sex kitten this episode, which I was like.
Yeah, they did.
I guess if you need to, why didn't, whatever, fine.
Anyway, it's fine. It's fine. It's okay, fine. Moving on.
Moving on. So anyway, he's got the nightie in his hands, and he's mm-hmm. crossing to and she's towards like, go the bedroom.
Hang that up for me, and he's like, okay.
And he's making a bunch of jokes about it, and then ding dong, and he turns and he lets Furley in, who sees Jack holding the negligee, and he assumes it's for him.
Because he's kind of holding it up in front of him at that point. Yeah. Like,
But then, okay, so ultimately RF's up there because they delivered a magazine meant for them to his apartment.
Yeah.
And
he says he's there.
Right. And Janet starts, like, flipping through this magazine. She sees this ad for seaweed pills that are supposed to...
By the way, she read, she flipped to that page and read enough of the article inside of a glance to know what that article was talking about. It was crazy. It was crazy.
Listen to this, she said.
Yeah. And this whole thing is too much for the audience even. I made note of this, is that he's like, she's like, who would do that? Blah, blah, blah. Who would take seaweed pills? And Furley's like, yeah, you know, that's silly. And then Cindy enters and she's like, hey, I have those seaweed pills you wanted me to get. He's like, I didn't want any seaweed pills. And he does this whole thing and it goes on for a long time. And he Furley's out and like leaves after he like fakes a sneezing fit.
Yeah.
And then he sneezes all the way out and there's no applause. Like it's
the problem is they don't give the audience they don't give them the right button and the timing's all off and they want to because he knocks it out of the park. It's just terrible directing and writing.
Yeah, the material's so bad that it's like because of the pacing of everything that's what's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't deliver. You want to applaud, but there's nothing to
applaud. They don't create the moment.
Also, I'm convinced that they made this whole joke about the magazine and the seaweed pills and everything so that they could say that joke later in the bar.
Kelp.
That's...
I totally agree.
What the fuck are seaweed pills? Like
that's not a thing.
Oh, so then
I'm glad it's you guys this week. It's usually me.
So then Jack and Cindy and the ironing board have a whole thing.
Oh my god. Cindy damn ironing board.
Jack and Cindy.
But she, I have to say, the way that she ends it with smacking him in the butt with that thing, as she turns.
Yeah, that
she looks like a little soldier with a rifle. It was that, I don't know. It's so bad, it's good.
It's like
it's moments, so choreographed, though.
It's yeah, it's too much,
and it's nonsensical. Too, like she's doing, she's unnatural. Making movements that you would not do in that situation. Like no. She's trying to close the ironing board when Jack is in it.
It's things like that. Where it's there like, are so that? There's so many things and wrong then, with this ironing board bit, but you know, what, God bless them for trying. I love it.
The part that. Like specifically that part when she turns and knocks him at the end. I'm like, after all that, after everything, loved after it. I was like, just fucking walk away. Yeah, walk Jack, away from him. Walk away. Let him get out of the ironing board. Walk
you're
away.
No fun. You're stop no fun. Touching that was my, it. That was my and favorite part of the whole thing.
Instead of like taking it and being like, oh, okay, we're out of that. She turns in the most like 60s Disney movie way
yeah.
You possibly can.
She looked like a little soldier with a gun. Like it was just the cutest.
And I found that part endearing.
I hated it.
Loved it. Loved it.
Hated it.
Hated.
Oh, man. Okay, so she eventually takes the ironing board to the kitchen. Then Janet comes in. And he says, oh, yeah, Cheryl's coming over, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to go get the champagne. So then he has to announce that he's going to get the champagne so that Cindy doesn't...
won't come through the door and hit him.
Hit him. And so he announces it. He starts going in, and she hits him with the door. It's like, I got it.
She's so unfair.
It's the same joke.
Same joke.
Over.
And Christy
over.
Is...
Cindy.
Cindy. God. I'll never stop.
I know. Tell me about it.
It's going to be okay.
Cindy, it's going to be okay. Cindy is, she is just one joke. That's all she is. It's just.
Yeah. And I just don't.
They're trying to make her multiple listen, jokes.
I don't want to, I want to give everyone all the credit they deserve.
She does a great job.
There's, I don't mm-hmm. know. Something about mm-hmm. her. I don't find endearing. I don't like it.
Did you like her in Dallas?
I don't remember minding her in Dallas, but there's something about this that's I find grating.
I know. I feel bad. I mean, who knew that the dumb blonde was the hardest part to play? It's really tricky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I feel bad for her because I don't think she's an untalented person.
No.
She's just in this role.
It's no, it's an impossible situation for her. Yeah. I'm just saying for my taste, I can't, I'm having a hard time like with it.
Okay.
I hear you.
Having a hard time with her specifically. Nothing personal.
Sorry, Jenny.
Sorry, Jenny. So anyway, then Janet, she goes away. Janet's like, Jack, you're going to have your date with Cheryl. It's going to be fine. Nothing's right. going to ruin your date with Cheryl. And he's like, okay, you're right. And so ding dong. And Jack is repeating to himself, nothing's going to ruin my date with Cheryl. Nothing's going to ruin my date with Cheryl. And he opens the door. And there is Cheryl's father, Andrew. I believe his name is.
Andrew, but I can't get his last name.
Yeah. And... oh. He is a semi-permy patty that we've heard about before.
Yes. We have two semi-permy patties visiting this week. But his last name is Curtis. Sorry. Gaynor. He plays Andrew Gaynor.
Gaynor.
Who is yes, Cheryl Gaynor. Right. Yes. That's his name. But this is actor Keen Curtis. Born 1923 in Salt Lake City, Utah. He passed away in 2002 at the age of 79. But a really long career in the business. He gets his start all the way back in 1948 in a movie version of Macbeth. But then he doesn't get another gig until 1970. So 22 years later, he's on a TV show called Dark Shadows, but only as a voice.
Whoa.
And this is interesting because throughout his career, he's going to be just as known for his voiceover work in cartoons such as the Smurfs, as he is as an actor, a character actor on different TV shows. But throughout the 70s, he's in a few different movies and things. He's on a TV series called The Magician. He gets 12 episodes there. He goes on in 1974 to be in MASH. Then he's on Hawaii Five-O, two different episodes, playing two different characters, 74-75. He gets on Sanford and Son, Beretta, The Jeffersons, Wonder Woman. He's on Quincy M.E. He's on Eight Is Enough. And then he gets a gig for Scooby-Doo and Scrappy-Doo in 1979. Now, he is in 79, he's also in his first episode of Three's Company, where he plays Dr. Todson. Do you guys remember Dr. Todson?
Yeah. It was when they thought Chrissy was going to die, but really she just hit her head.
Yeah. And he came out and he was like, we lost her, or whatever.
But he's like, she's so funny. I just can't stop laughing. Oh,
that's right.
But he came out crying.
Yes, because he was laughing.
So hard.
Yeah. Todson.
Yeah. So I guess so that does make him a seven permanent patty, two episodes. Then he gets on another cartoon called Mork and Mindy, Laverne and Shirley, Fawn's Hour. That is so crazy that they would take all those primetime television characters and make a cartoon of them, including the Fonz from completely different shows.
Really
they were all Gary Marshall shows, though.
Gary Marshall.
Then he gets on Heart to Heart, two episodes. Benson. He gets on the Dukes of Hazzard cartoon series called The Dukes, and he's in 20 episodes of that. Then he gets another 11 episodes on something called Amanda's, which is a TV series. But yeah, just throughout the 80s, he's in Night Court. He's in the Superman cartoon show. He gets 18 episodes of The Smurfs, which is a big long run. He gets on Newhart. He's on additional voices, including Baltazar. Ooh. But I don't know who Baltazar is. I don't remember Baltazar.
Oh, I think
but Baltazar he's on from 82 through 89.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, yeah. He's on the Little Mermaid TV series, Murder, She Wrote. Oh. He's on 15 episodes of Cheers. And I don't remember his character, but yeah, I know. I got to watch Cheers again and check him out. But he plays a character named John Allen Hill. And 15 episodes between 1990 and 1993. He's on Full House, ER, Coach, Hope and Gloria, Star Trek Voyager, Lois and Clark. Goes on to be on Ally McBeal, The Drew Carey Show, Party of Five. Woo! Party of Five. What a great show. And his last credit is in 2017. He's on Ned and Stacey. So just a really long career for Keene Curtis in all different kinds of in movies, television, and in cartoons.
Oh, wow.
Excellent. And he's a bald guy with, very
prim and proper seeming.
He is. Like, there was something about him where when he shows up and I was like, oh, is that the daddy? I thought he was kind of hot, to be honest.
Right.
And I was like, I get why Janet went out with him.
I thought what was going to happen in this whole episode was that Furley was going to think that Jack was dating him.
Mm.
That's what I thought was going to happen the whole time at the beginning part. Like I was oh, Furley's going to walk up here.
Right.
When Jack's anyway. Okay. Okay. So he's there. So and then he comes in.
Yeah.
And he is Cheryl's dad, and Jack immediately is apologetic and is trying to make sure he's a fine, upstanding young person.
Mm-hmm. And then he's stumbling over his words as usual and says something about the other girls. Oh, there aren't any other girls, of course, and blah, blah, blah. And that's when Janet and Cindy emerge, and Cindy's leaving, and she comes over and just plants a kiss right on Jack's smackers.
When does that ever happen?
That's what I call Rick's smackers.
This is what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And I ask this question every time. Have you guys ever kissed your roommates on the lips?
Only no. Michael. And that's only because his family's Southern and he's like that.
Okay. Well, there it is. There it is.
You know according, how Southern families
you know how
are.
Southern well, people are.
Yeah.
According to Cindy's clothes, she's also Southern or some kind of disco cowboy. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, yeah. She's a disco cowboy. She's not Southern.
Yeah, that's true. It's very disco very cowboys popular. Aren't real cowboys.
No. Okay. What is this? Look at
Sean. No, I don't remember, but does the daddy say why he comes to see Jack?
Yes.
Yes.
So what then, does he say?
We'll get to that. We'll get here, just he's a sec. So he says, and then he's like, oh, listen, that's my, he's like, not my sister, that's my cousin. Because he tried to
cover that was, fun. That was kind of funny.
Sisters or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Cindy leaves, and then he's like, sir, nothing, it's very innocent, nothing goes on around here. And that's when Larry runs in.
Larry comes in with one of those stories that Larry always has.
The Ramsey twins are in town.
You can have whatever. Your pick of either of them. It doesn't won't matter.
Yeah. And then he starts upsetting. Inquiring about that hickey bait he was with last night.
Hickey bait?
That hickey bait.
What the hell does that mean?
She's got one of those necks.
I mean, I know what it means, but I mean, like, what the hell is he trying to say?
He's trying to find out how Jack did with the hickey bait last night.
And then he's like, who the hell are you, basically? and then yeah. Andrew's like, I'm the hickey bait's dad.
Father. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, but he is stopped by to drop off Cheryl's driver's license.
She left her driver's license at his house or something.
Yeah.
Is that what he's saying?
We're driving around without it.
Okay. How does he know where Jack lives?
I don't know. But he knows I think he's an alien. And I think a time traveling cyborg, perhaps, that has GPS, something. I don't know. Because he knows how to get to the other place later, too. Obviously, because he doesn't need directions. Never been there before.
That's true.
So he just doesn't. Went to Jack's knowing exactly where it was because he has some sort of...
Can't stop to look too closely. Cannot.
I don't know.
Okay.
No,
okay.
That's our bad.
Okay. Oh, you're right.
We're
okay.
The ones doing it.
So Larry, like, he goes to the kitchen to get some wine or something. Champagne, something. I don't know. And Jack and the dad end up on the sofa where we find out that this guy's 46 years old.
46, this guy.
This guy's 46.
Shut the fuck up, 46.
Now, listen, okay,
1981, 46.
I'm 48, and I looked at that guy and I was like, there is no way.
No.
Yeah, no way.
We're about to be 46.
Yeah, we're about to be 46. That's crazy.
That's what we're going to look like in a couple months, honey.
Oh, my God.
No, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
What's going to happen to us? And anyway, he's like, you know what, Jack? I understand what's going on because I've been hanging ever since my wife died or my divorce, whatever happened. I didn't catch that part.
I don't remember him
saying. But he's single is the thing. And he's like, ever since I've been hanging out a lot with Cheryl and her friends, and I understand and I like your openness of your generation.
He's basically saying I like young girls. Yeah. Is what he's saying.
He wants to get laid is what it is. Mm-hmm. And so then he's like, well, you could do, you know, all you need is a few tips.
He's like, who's going to give me tips?
Yeah. And this is
something
where
like that.
Larry interjects and imposes himself on the situation.
Great. And Larry in his typical velour V-neck.
Uh-huh. And he tells him that, you know, today's women are intelligent. You got to, you know.
You got to be direct with them. Direct and he's like, them. You mean like telling them exactly what's on your mind? And Larry's like, no, like spilling wine on their dress. It's hard to get a smart girl out of her dress.
Yeah.
They kept saying today's woman, which
today's
was so,
women.
Which was so irksome because I was like,
because it's the snail mucin of today.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Oh, right. Yeah. It was just driving me nuts. I was like, what? How old do you get to? How old is the is today's woman exactly?
27.
And were women of the past like smited with some kind of lesser intelligence? It's so crazy. They were all, like, it was so crazy.
With aprons on.
They were punched over with aprons.
Yeah.
So Jack tutors dad on today's women. And he's like, you know, you want to be laid back, you know? And so he's trying to teach him how to do these things.
He's trying to be laid back. You know how really uptight people do when they try to be laid back?
Yeah, he's doing that.
So crazy. So crazy. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Is this
it looks so uncomfortable.
Fresno?
No.
No?
Not really. No. He's, yeah. He's on the cusp.
Right.
He's like out of Bakersfield.
Yeah. And so Jack tells him, you know, you got to ask her about her career and then compliment her appearance and then ask her out.
Yeah.
And you want to take her, he goes to a fancy restaurant and he's like, no. You want to take her somewhere that's dark and dark blah, blah, blah.
And romantic. And
he says, take her to the Blue Grotto.
Ooh.
And so then Janet comes in from her room, and this guy's like, oh,
hello. In her same old purple polo dress.
Hmm? Listen, you may not like it, but I like that they wear the same clothes a lot.
I like that they wear the same clothes a lot.
You may not
too,
like the clothes.
But I don't like that she wears that particular dress all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
But he starts putting Jack's moves on her. Because, you know.
Automatically. Like, he jumps right in. It's right not even in. Like he's like, oh, I kind of like this lady. I might try these moves.
Yeah. No, he just starts jumps working right immediately.
He takes his tie off, which makes him look like a lunatic.
Right. And
Shirt. It's so weird.
And then he's like, let's have a drink. And then Jack's like, actually, this is for me and Cheryl or whatever. And he's like, oh, let's go out for that drink. And Jack's like, well, I'm going to stay here.
Janet's like, good.
Good. And then he's like, come on, Janet, let's go. We'll go to the Blue Grotto.
Blue Grotto.
And Jack's standing there like an idiot. Just like, oh no, what are we gonna do? As if there's a situation, and we go to a commercial as if there's a situation.
Yeah, nothing's happening.
I don't know what the situation
is. Explodes.
Oh, the champagne explodes.
When he's like, Blue Grotto.
Yeah, oh, blue. I mean, what's happening in this episode? Nothing. Two people went on a date. Who gives a shit?
We're protecting Janet's.
What?
Maidenhood, honey.
Oh my God. She can handle herself. She does just fine.
Yeah, I know.
On her own.
I know.
Oh my God. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening, but you know what is happening that I like so far?
What?
Is I feel like they have figured out that Cindy is boring as all get out.
Oh my God.
And so they're like, let's just have her leave.
Yeah. We'll just.
She'll just leave in the beginning.
She'll pop in, then she'll go.
And then she'll pop in later, and we'll catch her up, and that'll be that. And I like that, because I feel like that's efficient, and if they got to have her.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Here it is.
Yep.
Well, commercial. We got a commercial?
I don't know.
Or anything to discuss?
Junk, I totally forgot about that.
What?
The commercial? Well, that I should always have a backup commercial in my pocket.
No, we should never. It's better when it's organic.
Well, let's see. Yeah. Now, it used to be that I focused on commercials of the 70s and 80s, but now I feel like anything's fair game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, have I seen any commercials lately? What have I seen?
I saved a couple commercials.
Oh,
you did?
A couple old commercials on my YouTube playlist.
Oh, hey.
And they're both Psycho related. The movie Psycho, Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho related.
The original Psycho.
So, yeah. Well, I don't know. Let's see. I haven't watched these. I just saved them because I was like, oh, I better check that out. This one is a 1987 psycho-themed Spuds McKenzie commercial.
Got it.
For Bud Light, I guess. Is that what he was for? So we're at the Bates Motel. Oh, Spuds.
What? And then, why were these psycho commercials out in the 80s?
Yeah, that was 1987. So when let's see. Psycho 3 came out probably 86 or so.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's...
So, I mean, Psycho was still a thing. But, okay, this is from 1990. This is an oatmeal crisp and oatmeal raisin crisp commercial.
Oatmeal crisp?
Yeah. Done on the psycho theme?
This is with Anthony Perkins.
Oh my god. Bates. Okay.
Why would you wear cereal? Okay.
Can you see it in here?
Yeah.
Wow.
There you go.
Wow. Save this.
Wow. That's great. That's great.
So that's the thing that happened.
Well, that's weird.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Well, I get it because, you know.
Oh, serial killer.
It's a serial killer.
You guys, serial.
Dead. Dead.
God damn it. Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's terrible, actually. No, but
it's true.
Like, Psycho ends up being like this huge memeable, like, shared cultural reference, and it got a lot of play. You know, even to this day, like, you still do the strings and the stabbing motion whenever you want to, you know, convey someone having murderous intent, you know? But Anthony Perkins is so interesting to me as an actor because he's like totally forever pigeonholed into this one role, this poor guy. And it almost seems like he did such a good job. I feel like he is that guy. Like, he survived that film. Like it's almost as if, like, that was a documentary that we watched. And this poor man got away from this horrible situation.
Finally, he got out of there. Jesus. Did you watch the that series, Bates Motel?
No, but I heard it was actually really good.
It was good. We watched it. It was really fun. But that kid that plays Norman Bates on that show,
Freddie Highmore.
Freddie Highmore. And that's the first time I had ever seen him. So to me, he was Norman Bates.
Right.
And then he's in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And I was like, oh, Norman Bates was
Charlie.
So it's the same kind of thing where I just took it as like, that's that guy.
Let's see who it is.
Yeah.
I think the Psycho series is so interesting as a series too, because I love Psycho, but the fact that they were like the slasher movie hit and they were like in that whole, you know, just, downpour of slasher movies and franchises that were being born after Halloween. They were like, oh yeah, well, the first slasher movie is Psycho, you know, or Peeping Tom, but it's Psycho, right? And so they were like, what can we do? And that they actually did Psycho 2 and turned it into a slasher franchise. But Psycho 2 is kind of awesome.
Really? I've never seen it.
It's kind of interesting.
Psycho 2
and
is
fun.
Is the only time I ever... No, one of two times that I remember ever being genuinely creeped out by a horror movie.
I love Psycho 2. And then,
oh, I gotta see Psycho 2.
It's just and this has been like, you think about it, like 63, I think, is when Psycho came out. Or was it 60?
Oh, anyway, I have no idea. Like, but it's 20, back then.
20 years at least, and probably 22 yeah. years or something between movies. And Anthony Perkins then reprises his role as Norman Bates in this movie. And then, like, basically rides out the rest of his career as Norman Bates, as Norman right? Because yeah. he does Psycho 3, which he directs as well.
Oh, good for him.
Psycho 4. And he did a couple other things, but everybody just knew him as Norman Bates at that point.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's weird.
Yeah.
But like he did have like a full, you know, a full pre-franchise career with it, you know?
He did?
I mean, he did other things, but then it was like that was what was bankable. Oh, that's what he can make money off. But anyway, Psycho.
I want and still want and always have wanted the Psycho bath mat that is water activated, that when you step on it out of the shower, it turns red.
Yeah, that's great.
Bath mat so bad.
You know, funny that you mentioned that. We have these little children's books for Ivy's bath. And when you put water on them, they change colors. So you can like paint with your finger, like the little duck and the little fish. It's the cutest thing. She loves it. Yeah.
Oh, I love hyper color.
Oh boy. All right. This commercial has been for hypercolor.
Hypercolor.
that whole okay, discussion for hypercolor.
And this is Anthony Perkins for hyper.
I'm gonna send. Never mind. I'll tell you later. Go ahead.
Okay. We're in the apartment. Jack's in the apartment, and RF comes in, and Jack's flipping out because Janet's gone out on a date with this older man of 46.
She's so unsafe.
Oh, he's gonna go after her, and we find out that Furley's the same age, I guess. He's like, he's my age. And I don't know if that's supposed to be a joke because I can't tell anymore.
Nobody laughs.
Everybody looks.
I made a note that nobody laughed.
Yeah.
At all. So, and so like, I was okay, like, that's believable. He's believable at 46, believable 46 at this point. Oh my God.
She very well might be. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't remember. We've looked at how old he was.
Yeah, but before, he doesn't look.
He looks old.
Yeah, he looks old. He always looks old. I don't know anyone old. That's 46 that looks like that.
Wait, really how old is that? Old. So, let's see. That actor...
Don Knotts?
Keane Curtis. So, if Keane Curtis is born in 1923 and this is 1980...
He's a year older than Don Knotts. No, a year younger way. Than Don Knotts. No, wait,
no
a year older.
Way.
How does that work?
Don Knotts looks so much older. 1923.
Okay, so yeah, Don Knotts is a year younger.
Oh, okay.
No! A year later.
Why does he look so much older?
Because he has hair. Like, you just assume that...
And he's like...
That in King Curtis is...
Is my math bad? I don't know. Is he in his mid-50s then? When he's in this show, is he mid 50s?
Yeah.
Okay. But he's supposed to be mid 40s?
I guess.
Okay. Cool.
Or it's a joke that just didn't.
I don't know. I don't know what's happening anymore.
But I don't like the inference.
Yeah. The we're Furley's age? Come on.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Get the fuck out of here.
Okay, then what happens?
I don't know. Where are we? Okay, so then Cheryl enters. So now we get Cheryl.
Oh, Cheryl.
And she's a returning Patty as well?
She is?
No.
Is she? I don't
know.
No, she's not. Okay.
No, it's the waiter who we haven't met yet, who is the semi-permy Patty. No. Cheryl Gaynor is played by actress Janice Kent. Now, it doesn't say when she was born or where she was born because I guess she doesn't want people to know her age, which is always such a funny thing in Hollywood to me because whatever. But yeah, she's a very long time in the business. She gets her start back in 1974 in some movies, including in 1977, she's in the Kentucky Fried movie, which was such a scandal of a movie. Then she goes on to be in an episode of Lou Grant, which is a Mary Tyler Moore spinoff. But then she goes to be on The Ted Knight Show, which is also produced by Mary Tyler Moore. And she's in six episodes of that. She goes to be on the Mary Tyler Moore Hour in 1979, which was a terrible variety show that Mary Tyler Moore should never have been involved in. Anyway, she goes on to be in some TV movies, including Baby Comes Home, the James Mansfield story. In 91, she gets Three's Company. Then she gets on a TV movie called Still the Beaver, and she plays this character named Mary Ellen, who is married to Wally, Beaver's brother. Yeah, and I'll tell you why that's important in just a second. So she goes on to be in Fantasy Island. She's on the show Give Me a Break with Nell Carter, Highway to Heaven, and then in 83, out of that TV movie is so popular that they end up re-releasing Leave It to Beaver as something called The New Leave It to Beaver, which runs from 1983 to 1989, where she plays Mary Ellen Cleaver, married to Wally, and is in 101 episodes of this show. It's her big big career defining part. Yes. In 1990, after that show wraps, she goes to be on Who's the Boss? Designing Women. She's in an episode of Wings. She's in the movie The Flintstones. She then gets on 15 episodes in the mid-90s of Days of Our Lives. She goes on to be in an episode of Frasier in 2000.
The mid-90s and Days of Our Lives was a good – that was a good time.
That was a good run. That was a good run. Then she goes to be on Frasier and then ER – she gets on Without a Trace, Diary of Single Mom, Torchwood, Criminal Minds. An episode of Castle in 2015 is her last big credit. And then in 2017, she produces a short called May and June. And then that's the last little thing that we have for her. But ostensibly out there still doing it, still in the business and turning it out. So good for her.
Man.
Did she play Jane Mansfield?
No.
Oh, okay.
Lonnie Anderson did.
Oh,
but fascinating.
Do you know who played the husband?
No.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Fascinating
appearance. I've seen this
movie. Interesting. You've seen
I've this? Seen the Jane Mansfield story.
Weird.
Yeah. Okay.
What is the answer time?
I can't believe that there was a Beaver reboot that lasted that long. That I feel completely unaware of.
It was big. It was really big with weird. People.
I knew about it, but I
guess television revivals are not as new as we think. That's been happening. Yeah.
All right. So Cheryl comes on in.
Yeah, she's here now.
And she's like, "Hey, my was that my father and Janet going on a date?" And Jack's like, "Yeah,
I know, isn't it, God?"
And she's like, "That's terrific. It's wonderful." And I'm like,
done anything like that for so long. She's so excited. Fine. And I'm like, right?
Yeah. And Jack's like, he's gonna.
What do we gotta?
He's gonna.
It's so odd, right? Because ostensibly, if he's living with two women, like Jack's supposed to be like on the cutting edge of, you know, culture and society, and now he's acting like some kind of 1940s big brother. Like, what?
Yeah, because he knows he's like this guy, he hasn't had sex in years, he's just gonna rape her. Like, that's it.
That's like totally what he's acting like.
I don't know.
It's crazy. And Jack advocated for it earlier, so
insane.
Yeah,
he's acting insane.
He's acting insane.
Yeah, he was. What was it that he told him? That her eyes will say yes.
Her mouth will say stop, but her eyes will say go.
That's it. Yeah.
Which is like just completely upsetting.
Yeah.
So Cheryl continues making valid points, saying they're two consenting adults.
Yeah, she's just laying it out like totally reasonably.
And she's like, she's trying to get it on with him. And Jack's like, "Hey, I'm worried about Janet." And She forgot her seaweed pill.
Oh, her seaweed
pill. She needs to take her medicine. Come on. So they head out to the Blue Grotto. Now we're at the Blue Grotto, and it's a dark place.
It's so dark in there. You can't eat in there.
No, it's not for eating.
What's it for?
It's for drinking. It's for making women horny.
Women get horny from how dark it is, evidently.
Hey, guys, let me, as a woman, inform you that that doesn't do it.
It disguises how hideous the men are.
Dark room. I don't know.
Jack was making a lot of sense earlier, I thought.
I don't know. I don't get it.
I don't understand any of this. None of this makes any sense.
So there they are, Janet, in a dark room.
Yeah, Janet and Andrew are at the table, and then Jack and Cheryl enter, and Jack just imposes on the table and like, come on, let's sit down.
Well, he's like, I don't want to interrupt you. And they're like, oh, you know, don't worry. He's like, it's not like we're all, I mean, if you're upset about it, we'll join you.
Right. Like, yeah. He pulls two chairs over.
Again, yet another opportunity for Jack, because this girl, right, she's good to go. Like, it from all accounts, they talked about having sex the night before. Built this whole thing up. He's got her in his apartment. The girls are gone. And this is what he wants to do. I'm like, is Jack gay? What's going on?
Janet? What is it?
Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah. It's super weird. This doesn't make any sense.
And this is where Jack finally gets to deliver the payoff line of the seaweed.
Yeah.
Pills.
With a little kelp from her friends.
Right. Nails it.
He does pull it off for such a corny line.
And then they're going to order drinks, and he orders them. Oh, the waiter. We didn't talk about the waiter. The waiter's there from the beginning of this scene.
Yeah, I don't remember him at all. Who the hell's he?
Jeez.
Well,
what the hell's this guy? Are you there, Mattia? It looks like we're muted.
Ah, crap.
You see that?
Well, because I was muted because I had to. Yeah, I had to fart. So great. And I forgot. I forgot I muted it. Great. So I've been going off about this actor for the last 5 minutes. Just so dumb. Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
This is actor. I did not miss my cue. I was right on it. This is actor Joe George, born in 1927, passed away in 1992 at the age of 65. So he died kind of young, but not before he doesn't get out decades of work in Hollywood. He begins in 1970. He's in a movie called Puzzle of a Downfall Child. Weird name. Then he goes on to be on Across 110th Street, which everybody knows that movie because of the big song made by Bobby Womack in 1972. Yeah. He goes to be on Love American Style, the TV show Shaft. He's in an episode of that. He goes on to be in All in the Family, big huge show, two episodes of Ironside, an episode of Beretta. So like a lot of procedurals, like he's just got that like gritty look to him. He's on the Invisible Man TV series in 1975, goes on to be in an episode of Rhoda where he plays a detective. He's in The Bionic Woman. And Phyllis, yet another Mary Tyler Moore spinoff, just like Rhoda. He's in an episode of that. Goes to be on two episodes of Barney Miller. Three episodes of Kojak, playing three different characters. Quincy Emmy, The Bob Newhart Show, Alice. He's in an episode of The Ropers in 1980. Then he goes to be on Knots Landing, St. Elsewhere. He gets three episodes of Three's Company. Now, you'll remember we first saw this actor when he played the chauffeur of that little rich kid who comes to torment Jack. Yes. And then next season, he'll be back as playing a crook. In 1984, he gets Hill Street Blues, then Cagney and Lacey. He's on the soap opera Santa Barbara. He's on Highway to Heaven, L.A. Law. He gets on Day by Day, Matlock, Seinfeld in 1990. Then he gets on in Living Color in 1991. And in 1992, he's on – the year that he dies, he's on something called Round Trip to Heaven.
I know that movie. That's with Corey Feldman and Zach Galligan.
Corey Feldman. Oh, that's so funny. And anyway, that is actor Joe George.
All right.
Wow. Joe George.
And so the waiter comes over and he's like, oh, well, Jack's kind of, you know, what kind of wines do you like have? Again, he's honey? All wishy-washy about it. And Andrew's like, give us four white wines. And then Jack's like, oh, waiter, can you add a little club soda to that? And oh, waiter. And he keeps bringing him back to add more ingredients. And adds grenadine and rum. Mm-hmm. And he calls it a tripper spritzer. We should probably make it sometime.
Yeah, we should make tripper spritzers next time Matteo's here.
Yeah, we'll have tripper spritzers and watch Three's Company.
Great.
So anyway, Janet takes Jack aside and she's like, what is up? I like him. He's nice. He's been a complete gentleman.
Yeah.
I'm having a good time. Why don't you leave me alone? Out,
for God's sake.
And Jack just will not. Let it go.
It's far beyond like I'm bizarre. Protecting you or I'm your brother. Like it is well beyond that. And it is into, I think I am your boyfriend territory.
It's weird. The whole thing's weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
So Janet sets him straight. It's like, oh, you know, buzz off. And she and Andrew leave. And so then Jack's like, okay, well, and he goes and sits down with Cheryl. And he's like, well, it's just you and me and blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, she starts kind of baby talking him. And then she's like, you know what? You know what we're going to do?
Yeah. And he's like, what are we going to do?
Nothing. And then she gets up and leaves.
Is it because she's jealous?
I think she's kind of like, he's crazy. He's a weird person. He's obsessed with his roommate. I don't know. How would you react to that?
Well,
let's set the scene here.
Why would you like,
meet the like, well, swinging cat obviously in love and you're with like, roommate. I'm going to go over there and have sex with him tonight.
Yeah, I would think he was in love with his roommate.
Right.
I'd be like, well, I'll just step on out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so she did.
She left. Well, that's the only thing. She could have
been nicer about it. She was weird.
That's true.
Well, but this is the thing, right? I was thinking about this. If the writers had gone in the direction of she thought it was sweet that he was trying to protect her and then they end up making out or whatever anyway, I could have just as easily believed that would have happened. Yeah. And the problem with that is that none of this makes sense. It's just all so arbitrary and it's just too bad.
Exactly. So then she leaves, leaving Jack alone. And then the waiter brings the four tripper spritzers.
Tripper spritzers.
It makes me think I'm saying it wrong every time. Tripper spritzers. And he says, oh, none for me.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't even do the line right. Like he could have really just—he just seems so like bored all of a sudden. I don't know. That moment was played not great.
Well, because they had just Andrew and Janet had already left and paid the bill, and so then she walked out. So Jack's left by himself, and that we didn't mention that. I feel like that makes it funny. Did we not mention that?
That Jack was left by himself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think.
I said she left. He's alone at the table. Yeah. Yeah, they left.
Yeah.
That's when he went over and said, just you and me. Yeah. Anyway, it's fine. Doesn't do anything.
It's not a zinger.
Nothing happens.
It's not a zinger.
It's not funny. Nothing's working.
It's just not anything.
Nothing's working in this whole episode. So the apartment... We're back at the apartment, and Janet and Andrew enter, and they sit down on the couch, or she's like, he's like, well, I better go. And she's like, no, come in. And you know, you don't have to leave. It's early still. And he's like, oh, and he doesn't know what to do. And he's nervous. And he's like, and she says, of course she has to phrase it the way she does, because that's how everybody in this show phrases everything, so that everything sounds like a sexual invitation. She says, just do whatever comes naturally and it'll be fine. And he's like, really?
Andrew's like, oh.
Okay. He thinks that's a green light.
Because what comes naturally to any man.
Yeah.
He's
like, that's what's on his mind. And she must know that. Obviously. So he dives on her. And then he notes that her mouth is saying stop. But her eyes are saying go. Boy. And that's when Cindy enters and sees her friend being sexually assaulted and says, like, oh, I see your date's not over yet.
Yeah.
Because she's, you know, it's just the just way of the world.
That happens on it's dates.
The way of the world. Oh, good Lord. And then, he goes to leave, and he's apologetic. He's like, I'm sorry. I don't know what I misunderstood. I thought this is what you're supposed to do, and blah, blah, blah. You know, and they're like, oh, you don't have to leave. She's like, come on, we've got this champagne. Let's not let it go to waste.
Yeah. Let's just everybody, which Janet's compulsion to just make everybody be at peace with this is really bothersome too. Mm.
And so then Cindy, of course, spills champagne on his pants. So they're like, take your pants off before it stains.
Before it stains. Champagne. I mean, yes, champagne can leave a mark, but it's not going to stain.
You're not going to see it stain. You'll just smell. She just sort of said, oh, we don't want you to go home with that, just smelling boozy. Something better than stain.
Yeah, something like
stain. I was like, it's clear liquid. And those are gray wool pants. You're never going to see that.
Stupid. So he goes into the girl's room and to change his pants, or to take his pants off. Janet tells Cindy to go in the kitchen and gets a bowl of soap and water, I think.
What does she ask for? Wait.
There's a whole thing.
I can't remember, but I remember thinking, like, that's not going to get that stain out.
Right.
Maybe it was just dish soap or something.
And then she tells Andrew that here's, you know, a robe of Jack's. Put that on. So then.
And he's like, oh, thank you. Like, that's a totally normal thing to do.
Yeah.
Just put on someone's robe.
So then she goes into the kitchen with Cindy while he gets his robe on, whatever. He's in the bedroom. And Jack comes in. And he goes and he starts knocking on Janet's bedroom door.
He's like, come on, Janet. Answer the door. I want to apologize.
And this is when Andrew opens the door with the robe on. And Jack assumes what's happened. And that she must be in there just crying her eyes out.
Because she's been raped? Because
she's been brutally raped by this guy, apparently.
Jesus.
Dark.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's what he's like. She's in there in a bottle of who knows what. And it's just, the whole thing's obscene.
Oh.
So then Jack sits down on the couch and he's looking up at Andrew, who's on the bathroom side of the set, standing there. And Jack's like, oh, I can't. He's like, I never should have told you how gullible today's women are, how easy they are to get into bed, and how it's like, oh, poor Janet.
Empty. Janet.
Oh, and Janet comes and sits down next to him while he's going through this, and he says, poor little hopeless empty headed Janet, and he turns and pats her leg. Which was a pretty pretty funny. That was pretty funny. And then Janet again goes to set him straight. And he doesn't even want to be set straight this time. He tries running away from her and ends up almost running into Cindy coming out of the kitchen with a bowl of soapy water. Oh no. But then he's like, "You missed me." And that Janet goes, "Too bad," and tips the water on him.
Oh.
And that's horrible superfluous tag we'll talk about, but that's the whole episode.
That's how it ends, which is so random. And they cut the tag scene from Pluto, which I really wanted to see because trivia, that tag, the tag scene is the only time that we see Chrissy and Jack talk on the phone. Most of the time it's been Janet, and this is, and I really wanted to see it. Sorry, and they didn't play it.
I wonder if you can find just that clip on YouTube. Maybe.
I'll tell you what though. It's so useless and flat and boring that we didn't even write down what happens except for the very end.
But yeah, Jack answers the phone. Chrissy's there. She says she wrote him a letter. It should be there in a day or two. And she's really excited. And he's like, "Why don't you just tell me?" And she's like, "Well, then that'll spoil the letter." And then he's like, "Well, if you tell me, then you don't need the letter." She's like, "I don't need the letter. Oh, I'll go see if I can stop my dad before he melts it or mails it. Bye, Jack." And she hangs up, and Jack is so, you know how Janet always falls off the table because of Chrissy's dizzying stupidity? Yes. Jack, because of Chrissy's dizzying stupidity, bangs the phone on the table, and then he eats the cord.
Yeah,
he puts a bunch of the cord in his mouth. It's weird. It's
so bizarre.
As everyone's applauding and we go fade out,
It's so bizarre.
And one of those bits. It's strange. Anyway, that's this episode. That's the one.
I'm sorry.
You didn't do it. It's not your fault.
It's not my fault, but I'm sorry.
Everyone sorry
did
too.
This, you know?
Yeah.
I hear you.
What is it? What is it chirping?
I don't know. Something keeps chirping.
We don't have those kind of smoke detectors.
In the garage, we do.
We do? Really? There's just an old tower one out there.
Chirping.
Interesting.
Maybe it's chirping. I don't
nothing
know
over here is chirping.
You know, one of my least favorite things in the world
is chirping.
Chirping.
Me too. It drives me insane.
Makes me crazy. Okay. So what do you give this one, Matty-O?
You know, again, this is just – this is another kind of 3S Company episode. No real what do you call that when they mistake hearing something from someone? What is that
misconstruing
called? There's no misconstruing here.
No.
It's Jack oddly being super hyper conservative Jack, which I never get, that guy versus Wervert. I don't understand how this is the same person. It's oddly sexist. I don't know. There's so many problems with it, but I think I thought the daddy was kind of hot. So for that reason, I'm giving it 4 Dominomini Voos for Hot Daddy. I thought he was
four
a real
out of
winner.
Four? And
I, 4 out of 4. Wait, no, sorry.
Wow.
I was going back to my 5-point scale. No. Let me 3.62696969 for the daddy.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to. I just found this all absurd, and you can tell when I start picking out the things and picking things apart, then it's boring because I'm paying attention to that. So I'm going to give it a flat 3.
3 out of 4?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I think this is one of the worst episodes.
Yeah.
So far, I think you guys are being pretty.
We're being generous. We are.
Yeah, I don't want to get in trouble with certain people.
I don't want the board to come after me.
Yeah.
I'm giving this a 2 out of 5.
Oh my God.
Because.
Staggering.
The show's having a hard time with me right now.
Yeah, you guys are going through a lot.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. I'm willing to work through some things, but. But they got to get their shit together.
Yeah.
And we got to find out what that chirping
is. We got to figure out what this chirping is.
And this episode of this podcast has gone on about as long as that episode felt.
Yeah.
So we should probably wrap it up. All right. Oh, wait. We got next week's episode.
Yeah, balls. Get your balls out.
Quick, balls. Okay, here, hold this.
Balls have been out.
Oh, okay.
Oh, they've been out the whole time.
Next week is called Janet's Secret.
Ooh.
Janet's Secret. Janet has a gambling problem. And it's not an issue until she loses this month's rent.
Oh my God.
And it wouldn't even really bug Jack so much as it's all Cindy has.
This is a really touching episode.
Larry is going to pull a fast one and sell Mr. Furley a car at an overinflated price to make up the difference.
That's pretty good. That's a pretty good resolve, though. I like that. That's good. That's good. All okay. Right. I think you might have nailed it.
Maybe. All right. What are we going to toast? Get out of here.
On a very special episode of Three's Company.
Let's toast to the semi-permeable patties. Maybe we recognize them next time.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
To semi-permeable.
To semi-permeable patties.
Your face.